Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption, and we have placed well over 5,000 children into loving homes. Since 1990, we have advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families, and helping families and birth parents grow through the adoption process is important to us. Our offices are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw, and our pregnancy and adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show, so we thank you very much for listening in today. Hope that you find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. I am very excited to welcome to our show today Amanda Huss. Amanda, are you with us?
I am. Hello.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for being on Adoption Focus. And today we have the pleasure to hear from you about your family's experience with transracial adoption, which is the topic that we're going to focus on. So, again, thanks for coming on, and we'll get started by having you and your husband came to Adoption Associates in 2010, if I'm correct, interested in growing your family through adoption. Tell us more.
Well, we had, you know, like a lot of couples, we were going through some fertility issues, and we, you know, had been trying to start a family, and it just wasn't working out for us. And my mother had actually suggested that we look into adoption. And when we started to do some research and reading about it, we just felt like this was the way that we were meant to grow our family. And, we, you know, we stopped all doctor's appointments and all of that, and really focused on trying to find an agency and people that we trusted to work with to start our process. So we had done, you know, we've gone to several different places and talked to several different agencies, but it wasn't until we had met with someone from Adoption Associates that we really felt like they were invested in us and really were, you know, excited to work with us. They were very honest about the process and what was going to happen and how it was going to be and all everything involved in adopting a child. And we just felt very comfortable with Adoption Associates and so happy that we you know, went through our journey with you.
Oh, and I'm happy to hear that you felt that ease and comfort with the agency. That is something that is important to us. So thank you for those kind words. Let's fast forward a bit to 2013 when you were selected by a birth mother and subsequently adopted your daughter. You and your husband are Caucasian and your daughter is African American, so you are now a transracial family. Can you talk about the considerations that went into that decision, the decision to be open to adopting a child of a different race than your own?
Well, I had spoken to my husband recently about, you know, the podcast and what we were going to talk about today, and he remembers things just a little differently than I do when we were starting, and that we were open to other races slightly, but we were unsure. And talking to our caseworker, she suggested that we go to the transracial adoption meeting and really learn about things there. And we did an exercise with different colored beads to talk about, you know, the different races in your neighborhood and your doctor or your dentist or your friends or your church. And it really opened our eyes to, you know, where we lived and who we surrounded ourselves with. And I just remember leaving that meeting feeling like we wanted to be a transracial family. Like, we were just really excited to start that journey and to be open to whatever, you know, God had planned for us.
Was there something in particular that you were excited about? What got you so excited after attending that meeting?
You know, I don't really remember like one specific thing. the bead exercise with the different colored beads and talking about, you know, your neighborhood and, you know, where you lived and where you, you know, hung out and the people you surrounded yourself with and your church and the schools. And we just realized how diverse of an area we lived in and how we had so much to offer, and we wanted to be part of that community. And I mean, that exercise in and of itself was really eye-opening for us. And the feeling that I had when we left, and I remember looking at my husband and just saying, like, this is what I want to be. I want us to be a transracial family. Like, I'm open to whatever. And he said, so am I. And I think it awesome. Kind of just went from there.
Awesome. Yeah, how are you? That's really good to hear. I've heard a lot from couples about the exercise with the beads. It might sound pretty benign, but it's pretty powerful when you go through that each different area of your life mm-hmm. and you're asked to select that bead that represents those particular races. So, I'm glad to hear that that was impactful for your family. How mm-hmm. are you creating, you and your husband, creating a diverse family life and home environment that is reflective of your multiracial and multicultural family?
Well, at this point, she's 3 years old. And so I'm thinking just about, you know, day-to-day life, and there's not a whole lot that she notices per se, you know, but her hair and skincare was a big deal for me. Like, I really wanted to be the one to take care of her. And I wanted to be like any other mom and know how to take care of her hair and do the best for her as far as teaching her and helping her to be proud and beautiful and know she was beautiful. And so we have different books that we read, and she has, you know, dolls of other races. I remember going out and buying The Princess and the Frog because I wanted her to know that that princesses aren't just one color, you know, and little things like that. I mean, she's still little, but I didn't want her to only see one thing. You know, daycare is not as diverse as we'd hoped, and we have to find other areas right now to show her diversity in the world. So those mm-hmm. are just some of the little things that we do right now.
Mm-hmm. But it's on your radar, so that's important.
Yeah.
As a family, you guys recognize value in that, and you're seeking those opportunities. And it sounds like that you're being pretty proactive in your approach. So that's really important, I think, to acknowledge as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, we don't want to wait until she's older and she starts asking questions. Like, you know, obviously she's going to at some point realize that, you know, that she doesn't look like us or, you know, whatever, and to be the only thing that defines our family. So to start showing her different races and different, you know, cultures and different books and movies and toys and whatever is a way to start it now before she gets to that point, before she gets to school and starts to see all that stuff.
Right. Very good point. Oftentimes we hear from transracial families that through the years they continue to reevaluate their circumstances to find opportunities to enhance and better meet their child's needs regarding racial diversity and acknowledging differences. Are there areas that you and your husband have identified for potential growth?
Well, certainly when she starts school, she is in daycare now that, you know, acts like a preschool for her at this point, but she is the only child currently of another race. So there's definitely area of growth there when we look at school and see, you know, will she go to public school? Will she go to private school? What will that look like? You know, we go to a wonderful church that is very diverse, and so she has that opportunity with, you know, Sunday school and that right now. But certainly when she is ready to go to kindergarten and stuff, we'll look at school and, you know, maybe, you know, taking her to get her hair done other places instead of just at home with me, or, you know, play dates with friends that have adopted or other couples that, you know, I keep thinking of the show This Is Us, and when they're at the pool and the little boy is marking down how many different African-American people he sees on a daily basis. And I don't want her to not see that her life is diverse and have to count how many different, you know, like I want her to king for that, but just, it's just a normal part of life. So like, I don't want to put too much emphasis on it, but at the same time, I don't want her to feel isolated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a balance there, and creating that in, as you're in part of your home and in your environment, as you mentioned, your community, means that it doesn't have to be awkward or strange or atypical,
right,
because it's, the diversity is a part of your life. So for families, maybe for families who live in areas of the state or the country that isn't, or that aren't as diverse, they have to be a little more intentional in their efforts and then evaluate the appropriateness of adopting a child of a race different than their own.
I remember that from part of that meeting that we went to, you know, other couples saying, like, we live in a very isolated area. There are, you know, no other, you know, there's not much diversity at all. And they were talking about seeking out, you know, doctors of your child's race or dentist or daycare or, you know, finding mommy and me groups that incorporate, you know, that are diverse to show your child that, and to get out and get out of your bubble and get out into other areas so that you can provide that for them. And there's so many different places, you know, dance class and sports and all kinds of things that you can get involved in to, you know, create that diversity and cultural differences that we have.
Absolutely. So are there one or two things that you feel you've learned through becoming a transracial family?
Oh, sure. I remember at the very beginning, when she was a baby and she just came home and I was just coming back to work or getting out in public, and I always felt the need to, I think I was more aware of our family than other people were. I was making it more of a big deal than other people were. I felt the need to overshare. Like if I showed someone a picture, like I felt the need to explain that she was adopted or, you know, whatever. And I learned pretty quickly that, like, that was not necessary. And I kind of was opening myself up for people to say things, inappropriate things or not inappropriate, but maybe hurtful or uncomfortable things that didn't really need to be said and could have been probably avoided altogether had I just not felt so compelled to tell everyone, you know, what we had gone through, or not everything about it, but just that we were, you know, that she was adopted and that she was African American and that we were, you know, I overshared way too much at the beginning. And I remember talking to my caseworker at the time, you know, about it at our meeting, at some of our visits after she came home, that I didn't know why I was doing it. Like, why am I doing this? Why can't I just be quiet? But it was, just, I don't know, it was just something that, like, I couldn't stop myself. I felt the need to explain it. And then I, you know, pretty quickly realized that that's my story. And what you decide about my family is your thought. Like, I don't need to hear it. And I don't, you know, like, if you want to have a nice discussion, sure. But I didn't need to tell everyone my business all the time. And that was something that I struggled with at the beginning. Because I think, of course, I loved my, you know, I was in love with the family that we had, that we have, and I wasn't ashamed. I just, I don't know, I just overshared all the time.
Oversharing. It sounds like your oversharing may have just been a result of you being excited and happy and proud of your family, not so much you needing to justify, or was it, did you feel you needed to justify the fact that you were a transracial family?
I don't know if I needed to justify it. I know that this, like, going through this process just made me so, like, proud of what we are doing and, like, just wanting to tell the world about adoption and educate everyone that I possibly could. And maybe it was partly that. Maybe I partly was just wanting to tell, like, to show people that, like, this is the family that you can be. You can be like us. Or, you mm-hmm. know, and maybe it was a little bit of both, but I've always been just so proud of the process that we went through and wanting to be involved in however I can to talk to other couples that are waiting or thinking about it, just because I'm just so happy about what we went through and, you know, the result of it. And yes, it was tough and it was hard and there were decisions to make and whatever, but it was so very exciting and rewarding. And I love to tell people about it.
Right. And, you know, I think it's kind of interesting that your oversharing in and of itself was maybe slightly problematic for you, but I love the fact that the oversharing was a result of you being so excited. Like, look at us,
right.
We're great. And you can be like us too. And let me tell you about
right.
it. Like, that's pretty awesome that, you know, you guys were excited
right.
and just wanted to share all this joy that you had with everyone.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, we learned when to overshare and maybe when not to overshare. Like
mm-hmm.
maybe it wasn't appropriate to just overshare when I'm at work and, you know, whatever. And I don't, you know, no one asked me or whatever, because those were times that, you know, resulted in comments that I was just like, well, I could have done without that today, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, mostly it never stopped me from talking about it. It never stopped me from when someone asks a question or, you know, or someone says, hey, can I give so-and-so your phone number? Well, absolutely you can. I will talk to anyone about it. But I certainly learned when to overshare and when to just let it go.
Good point. Were there any other things that you felt that you learned through the experience of becoming a transracial family?
You know, I mean, I think that it was just we became more aware of everything around us. You know, like
mm-hmm.
Maybe watching the news, watch news stories or you know, read things online or whatever that we read and we became engaged with. But I feel like now things hit a little closer to home, or it makes us think about how we're going to explain that to her someday, or, you know, hearing people say something that they shouldn't and how that can be hurtful to her someday and how we're going to handle that, you know, and how we're going to teach her to be strong in who she is and how to react to some of that stuff and maybe how to approach different subjects with, you know,
mm-hmm.
stigma and racism and whatever, just, you know, how we're going to handle that as a family and how we're going to teach her to do that, because there is a lot of it out there and you see a lot of different things on the news that can be scary, but at the same time it's going to open our eyes to, you know, what do we need to teach her and what do we need to talk about as she gets older and how are we going to help her deal with it. So I mean, it definitely made us more aware of a lot of things that maybe we didn't pay as much attention to before.
Mm-hmm. And it's created an opportunity for you and your husband to explore how you feel about those topics and then what your plans are now and in the future for educating
right.
your daughter as well.
I mean, even now we talk about, you know, I discussed with him the podcast and we talked about different things that we thought or went through or things that have happened since and how that changed our view. Maybe before somebody would say something that we knew was inappropriate, but we brushed it off, and now it's very close to home and we're so much more aware of it. And, you know, we take a stance on things. Like, we're not afraid to say, hey, that's just not something we say in public. Or that's just not something that you say in general, you know, like
mm-hmm.
it just, you know, it opens up more conversation for us with other people. But at the same time, it also makes us more, I think it makes me more strong in standing up for my daughter, for, you know, other races. It just, I feel like I'm more vocal about things than I was before.
Right. Your perspective has changed.
Yeah.
Now that you're a parent through transracial adoption. What suggestions do you have for other families who are considering adopting transracially?
You know, don't be afraid. Go to a meeting, learn more, think about your surroundings. And that meeting was just so powerful to us that it just drove home that this is what we wanted. And even if you are like, no, I don't think I'm open to it, still go to the meeting and listen to what they have to say and think about, you know, meet other couples that are open to transracial adoption and reach out to other couples that have gone through it, or me even. Like I would love to talk to anyone that is unsure, and just, it's so not as scary as you think it is. And mm-hmm. It will change you, and it will change your view on the world, and it will make you stronger and just more aware of things. And it's amazing. I just don't even know what else to say besides that.
That is absolutely perfect. And just enough, actually, we are approaching the end of the show, and I recognize that talking about transracial adoption is a topic that some people are hesitant to go into. It's a topic that we need to talk about. It's important. It's an important aspect that we do in adoption work. And the fact of the matter is there are children of all races and cultural backgrounds that are in need of loving homes and parents. So, Amanda, I do very much appreciate you sharing your story with us. We're getting ready to close out for today. And do you have any additional thoughts or anything else you'd like to say before we end the show?
Well, thank you for having me. I mean, I know it's a very tough, touchy subject to talk about, but like you said, it definitely needs to be talked about. And there are so many wonderful children out there that need loving homes, and just be open and go to a meeting, read a book, or talk to someone else. It's so amazing, and you won't regret it.
Thank you, Amanda, very much for today. Yeah. Remember, everyone, that Adoption Focus Podcast is live every Tuesday at 11. If you're looking to connect with Adoption Associates, you may do so by calling 1-800-677-2367. Again, the number is 800-677-2367, or you can visit us on the web at adoptionassociates.net. I hope that everyone can join us next week. We're talking about Adoption Associates upcoming gala, which is a fundraiser that we have annually in Northville, Michigan. We're very excited to be hearing from Nikki Racine next week about that big event. For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.